الاسلامي في مركز الصحابة The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم and welcome to the mid-morning show with myself, Brother Suleiman Isub, every Tuesdays, Wednesdays and Thursdays between 10 and 11 a.m. We do apologize for the late start in transmission. Today being the 29th of Shawwal, 1446, corresponding to the 28th. Maaf, today being the 30th of Shawwal, 1446, corresponding to the 29th of April, 2025. We say Jazakallah Khairan to you, the listener of America Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. You know, we have the Mubarak month of Dhul Hijjah is on our doorstep, almost a month, you know, from the Hujjaj are leaving for the first batch have left already for the blessed journey of the Hajj. You know, some are doing their Fard Hajj. It's the first time that they will be going to the Mubarak lands of Makkatul Mukarramah and Madinatul Munawwara, and it's going to be a life-changing experience for them. I know for myself, when I went for Hajj in 2019, it was a very life-changing experience for me, alhamdulillah. You know, my whole life literally changed. And you know, when you go for Umrah, it's a Mubarak journey, but when it comes to Hajj itself, you know, it's very, very different when a person goes for Hajj and what they do experience. Inshallah, we're just going to go for a small nasheed whilst we try to get our brother Alphas in Kosi on air.
Suni suni dagar ujda ujda chaman bin tere ye na mehkega mushk-e-khudan. Suni suni dagar ujda ujda chaman bin tere ye na mehkega mushk-e-khudan. Suni suni dagar ujda ujda chaman bin tere ye na mehkega mushk-e-khudan. ٹوٹ کر جیسے گر جائے گا یہ کنگن میری ماں تو ہے جنت میں ماستوں مگن ٹوٹ کر جھوٹ جائے گا یہ بھی کنگن میری ماں تو ہے جنت میں ماستوں مگن کیسے تجھ کو کہوں پھر سے آ جا یہاں کیسے تجھ کو کہوں پھر سے آ جا یہاں میری ماں میری ماں میری ماں ہو میری ماں میری ماں میری ماں میری ماں.
Just received the news now that brother Alphas was involved in a motor vehicle accident on Saturday. We asked the listeners of America Sahaba to please, you know, a staff member of ours was involved in a motor vehicle accident. Keep him in your, we asked you for a speedy recovery. You know, we asked the listeners that he recovers soon. So yeah, like we were saying, when my respected listeners, the journey of Hajj, it's a Mubarak journey. You know, the first time when, if you've been for Hajj, if you go for the first time, and you know, you apply every, not every year, but you apply for that 1 year, and they give you that time limit, and they say, you know what, you'll have to wait 4 or 5 years until your name comes out. And every year, when the agency or the people who give the accreditation give out the names, and you wait and you go through the names and you see, you know what, because they give that year that you had applied to go for Hajj, and you go through your names, you try and see on the surname, you try and see on the names, and with disappointment, you say, you know what, it's not, it wasn't in my labbaik to go this year, maybe next year, inshallah. And when you see your name, it's like how, it's like the feeling, you know, when you're writing your matric paper, and at that moment on the 30th, 31st, the 1st, everybody's going to get the newspaper, looking for your name to see whether I passed. You know, going through the paper, looking for your name, see what whether you got exemption, whether you got a senior. Now they call it a bachelor pass and another pass. I'm not sure what they call it, but when I was in the school, immatriculated, they called it a senior pass and a exemption pass. So just like that, when you see your name, when it comes out for Hajj, you know, your heart is filled with joy that, you know what, I got accredited. I'm going to go for Hajj, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. You know, you turn to Almighty Allah, you say, Allahumma laka alhamdu kullu, wa laka shukru kullu. Allah Ta'ala has given you the opportunity. And now, the moment they're going to ask you, do you accept the accreditation? Do you accept the accreditation? Now you got that feeling in your heart. If I turn down the accreditation, what are the chances of me going for Hajj again? What's the chances of my name coming out? Because there's times when when you turn down an accreditation. Now imagine your name came out for Hajj, no? And that is an invitation by Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala is inviting you, He's inviting you to come to His house. He say your name got you. You made the effort in the a'malu bin niyat. You made the effort. You applied. Allah Ta'ala put it. He took it in His hand. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Allah Ta'ala took your affair, and your name came out to go for Hajj. And now you got that doubt. You know. We must never have that doubt. We must never ever have the doubt. I'm talking from experience. When you came for Hajj and your name comes out, have tawakkal in Allah. Have your tawakkal, your faith in Almighty Allah. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Those who have tawakkal and faith in Almighty Allah, Allah Ta'ala will open roads for him, which is unimaginable. Allah Ta'ala will open the road for you. Even if you have that fear that, you know what, how am I going to manage, you know, financially, how am I going to, Hajj is so expensive now. It's almost R250,000, R300,000 per person to go for Hajj now. It's almost 400,000 to go for Hajj. But you make that intention that, Ya Allah, I'm making this Mubarak journey of Hajj. You know, completing one of the obligatory pillars. You know, in the five pillars of Islam, you got Salah, the Kalima, Salah, fasting, Zakah, Hajj. Hajj is one of the compulsory, one of the pillars of Islam. And one should make Hajj at least once in their lifetime. You know, we should try and make that effort that, you know, you can put your name and you come out. Allah Ta'ala will make it such, he'll make it possible for you to go for Hajj. Right, your name came out, you accepted. He said, I'm putting my faith in Almighty Allah. Put your name, you can get accredited, then they'll ask you, okay, now you must choose your operator, your Hajj operator, who you're going to go with. Then you start asking around, hey, you know what, who's this one, who's that one, you're going to go with this person, you're going to go with that person. A lot of people will give you different recommendations, you know, but obviously you have to weigh out your options. And you know, you have to see which one would be beneficial for you and which one would be easier for you. Right? But Hajj is to revitalize yourself spiritually and to come back a changed person. You know, because the Hajj, the sacrifice of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, they performed, all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, many people before us have performed that Hajj, the Anbiya, the Sahaba Ikram performed Hajj, is the following, the teachings and the Sunnah of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, we should try and emulate, we try and make that effort to go. You know, you go to Madinatul Munawwara. Every time when I speak of Madinatul Munawwara, the blessed Mubarak, resting place of our beloved Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it still brings, you know, that love in my heart that, Ya Allah, you know, make this dua. Someone's dua where someone will say, Ameen, that Ya Allah, you let me go for Hajj again, let me go for Umrah, let me take my children, let me take my mother. You know, I took my mother, alhamdulillah, in 2016, we went for Umrah. I put my mother's name down, my name also for Hajj, for my mother and my father's name. My father is now marhum. Allah Ta'ala grant him Jannat of Fir, grant all the marhumin Jannat of Fir, those Ameen. You know, it was such a beautiful feeling when I went for Umrah in 2016. I took my mother, my sister, her two kids, my nephew and niece, alhamdulillah, went for Umrah. When you go to Madinatul Munawwara, I cannot get tired. I will never get tired of speaking about the blessed Mubarak land of Madinatul Munawwara. It is so peaceful. Even Makkatul Mukarrama, when you see Kaaba Sharif, Baytullah, Allahu Akbar, it is so captivating, mesmerizing. You know, because that you're going there for the first time. You're going there for the first time. It is different. The air is different. You might feel that, you know what, people say, you know, it's 40 degrees, 42 degrees. But as soon as your body gets adapted to that weather condition, yes, it will get hot during the day, but your body somewhat gets adapted to that weather condition and you can survive. You'll hear 40, 42 degrees, we think as a South African, hey, you know what, me, I can only handle 32 degrees, I'm going to handle 42 degrees. But Allah Ta'ala makes it such, Allah Ta'ala makes the sun, you know, you going on the Mubarak journey, Allah Ta'ala makes, Allah, there is no anday in Allah's house. Allah can do with the means, without the means, against the means, beyond the means. Allah Ta'ala is the Zul Jalali wal Ikram. Allah Ta'ala, he says mentioned so many times in the Noble Quran, Kun fayakun, be and it shall be. Nothing is impossible for Almighty Allah. The weather, you might hear it's 40 degrees, 42, 45, but you will be okay. Inshallah, you will be okay. And, you know, when you go to Medina, it's a beautiful, serene, calm city, you know. And when you tie your ihram, some will tie in Jeddah. You tie your in Jeddah, or if you go to the Miqat of Bir Ali, and you tie your Miqat at Bir Ali, the mother, or you can tie at the Bir Aisha. The Miqat, the point where the boundary where you tie your ihram, you can tie there, you know, and with the Hajj operators, they're always there. You know, there's various duas, various kitabs, and they give you what you must read. You will learn it. And, you know, you go back and you look at these kitabs, and Mufti Sahib always sends out his Hajj and Umrah Q&As on a PDF form. Inshallah, if you want that Hajj Q&A PDF, you can send a message on the number 084-786-3132. International and overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. So inshallah, we're going to go for a break. But, you know, if you have been for Hajj, and if you have been for Umrah, you know, if you've visited the Baytullah, you've met the blessed lands of Makkatul Mukarram and Madinatul Munawwara, send me a message. I want to hear your experience. You know, we need to build up that feeling and let our listeners know that, you know what, this is the most beautiful feeling. You know, and you know when they say you sleep under the stars in Muzdalifah, Allahu Akbar. Muzdalifa, you sleep under no tent, no roofing, nothing. It's just you, your chatai, they call it a chatai, the mat, and is that, and the stars are beautiful, serene. You know, because of your body is so tired, nah? You sit and you sleep on that roadside. There will be buses, there will be traffic, but they got a fence that separates, you know, the buses, the road, basically. And they got like a fence. But there's no grass in Muzdalifa. There's no grass. And there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people that are there with you. But I promise you, that is the most beautiful sleep that you will ever, ever get. Guaranteed. There's no other sleep, no better sleep that you can get in Muzdalifa. I promise you. Tell me any way you can get a better sleep than under the stars. There's nothing better than, you know, if I can experience, if I can go again, inshallah. And if I can experience sleeping like that there, under the stars. And your body goes into the relaxation mode. And you hear nothing. Then when it's time to get up to move, then you read your Fajr Salah, and then the brothers will start coming and waking you up. You know, obviously with sisters, brothers with brothers, and they come and wake you up. And that bond and the muhabba that you build with people that you don't know, a stranger becomes your haji bhai and your haji bin. You know, alhamdulillah, I've got a group of brothers, haji bhais. I went in 2019, we are now in 2025. Up till today, we still keep in contact, we still check up on each other, we still speak about the Mubarak time that we all met in different places. I went with Maulana Mansurul Haq's son, Maulana Faisal Nazir. I met him at the airport when we were boarding. From then, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala connected us. And ever since then, we've been so close and so united. Inshallah, we're going to go for a break, for a small break. And when we return, we will continue with our program. So inshallah, we're going to go for a break.
You are listening to Markaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah.
Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Mustafa, tu mujhe haj pe bula, aake main dekh lo aankh se kaaba tera. Ya Rabbi Mustafa, tu mujhe haj pe bula, aake main dekh lo aankh se kaaba tera. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, labbaik, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, labbaik. حج کا شرف ہو پھر عطا یا رب مصطفیٰ حج کا شرف ہو پھر عطا یا رب مصطفیٰ بیٹھا مدینہ پھر دکھا بیٹھا مدینہ پھر دکھا یا رب مصطفیٰ یا رب مصطفیٰ یا رب مصطفیٰ تو مجھے حج میں بولا سوئے کعبہ ہاتھ میں زمزم کا جام ہو رخ سوئے کعبہ ہاتھ میں زمزم کا جام ہو पीकर करूं मैं फिर दुआ, पीकर करूं मैं फिर दुआ या रब्बे मुस्तफा, मुझे हज पे बुला के मेरे मुस्तफा से रोती रहे जो हर घड़ी इश्के रसूल में, रोती रहे जो हर घड़ी इश्के रसूल में, रोती रहे जो हर घड़ी इश्के रसूल में, वो आँख दे दे या खुदा, वो आँख दे दे या खुदा या रब्बे मुस्तफा,
या रब्बे मुस्तफा तू मुझे हज पे बुला के मैं देख लूं आँख से काबा तेरा,
मेरे मौला करम हो मेरे मौला करम हो दे दे तवाफे खाना काबा का फिर शरफ, दे दे तवाफे खाना काबा का फिर शरफ, फरमाए पूरा मुद्दा, फरमाए पूरा मुद्दा या रब्बे मुस्तफा, आँखों में जलवा शाह का और लपे नाद हो, आँखों में जलवा शाह का और लपे नाद हो, जब रूह तन से हो जुदा, जब रूह तन से हो जुदा या रब्बे मुस्तफा, फिरदौस में पड़ोस दे अपने हबीब का, फिरदौस में पड़ोस दे अपने हबीब का, या रब्बे मुस्तफा,
मुझे हज पे बुला मैं देख लूं से
सब अहले खाना साथ में को काश चल पड़े, सब अहले खाना साथ में को काश चल पड़े, सुए मदीना काफिला, सुए मदीना काफिला या रब्बे मुस्तफा,
या रब्बे मुस्तफा तू मुझे हज पे बुला के मैं देख लूं आँख से काबा तेरा, या अल्लाह या अल्लाह
अल्लाह,
या अल्लाह
अल्लाह, مجھ کو بقیے پاک میں مدفن نصیب ہو, مجھ کو بقیے پاک میں مدفن نصیب ہو. حوصلے ورا کا واسطہ یا رب مصطفیٰ,
یا مصطفیٰ مجھے یا مایا سیلا تیرا, یا اللہ یا اللہ
صاحب بخش دے عطارے زار کو, تو بیگ صاحب بخش دے عطارے زار کو. تجھ کو نبی کا واسطہ, تجھ کو نبی کا واسطہ یا رب مصطفیٰ,
یا رب مصطفیٰ تو مجھے حج پہ بلا کہ میں دیکھ لوں آنکھ سے کعبہ تیرا. یا اللہ یا
کہ میں دیکھ لوں آنکھ سے کعبہ تیرا.
You are listening to مركز الصحابة, the voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
It's gone 10 minutes to 11 Central African time. Well, let me give you the rundown for the shows that are to follow. From 11 to 12 will be The Bliss of Marriage with Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Saab and Maulana Zahid Khan. Thereafter, from 12 to 1 will be a lecture, inshallah. Then from 1 o'clock will be our Dhuhr Azan. And then 5 past 1 to 1:30 will be the tafsir of Surah Al-A'raf, verse 164. Then 1:30 to 2 will be a Surah Baqarah from the archives. 2 to 3 will be Brother Yusuf Ali. 3 to 4 will be the repeat of this morning's Q&A and Nasiha. 4 to 5 will be an Urdu lecture. 5 to 7 will be Maulana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30 will be the tafsir, the repeated tafsir of Surah Al-A'raf verses 164. 7:30 to 8 will be Maulana Dawood Sidat. And then 8 to 9 will be the repeat of the Bliss of Marriage Q&A. So, inshallah, we're going to listen to a lecture by Mufti Abdul Rahman Mangera. What makes a marriage a blessing? What makes marriage a blessing? So, inshallah, let's listen to this lecture by Mufti Abdul Rahman Mangera.
Setting up your bank balances. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد ولقد أرسلنا رسلا من قبلك وجعلنا لهم أزواجا وذرية. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, telling us about the institution of marriage, he says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we sent messengers before you. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't the first messenger. We sent messengers before you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and for each of them we decreed for them to have spouses and children. So that tells us that marriage is something which is for all the prophets. Prophets are supposed to be our role models. So if you look at any given time in history, humans, we learn from role models. Humans are social beings. Humans learn from other humans much more easily than they learn from anyone else. We emulate other human beings, and the best exemplars that we've had for anything are prophets and messengers, because they're divinely guided, they are divinely inspired, So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically had the prophets and messengers, at least majority of them, overwhelming majority of them actually, to have spouses and children. That tells us something very, very important. Yes, there have been some scholars who've said that it is actually superior to cut away from the community, to not get married, and just focus on worship. But if you look at that from a perspective of how humans have been, social beings as such, how we've been designed, the other view, which is what I subscribe to, is that it's actually superior to get married, to have a family, and yet still obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be the best that we can. There's more accomplishment in there than to just avoid all of this and just go and sit and worship. We hear that from multiple, we learn that from multiple sources. There's a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was approached or informed of different people who decided that they wanted to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intensely. So one decided that he's going to fast, you know, a lot more than what other people do, and just basically fast so that he can just focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's another one who said that I'm not going to marry women, and so on and so forth. However, that was all discouraged. That was all discouraged. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has all of this by design. The way that the humans will continue and the cycle of humanity will continue to until the day of judgment is through husband and wife relationships, through having children in the proper way. So Islam doesn't want it that children are just created from various different random relationships, and then after that there's nobody to look after them, take responsibility for them. And this is essentially what we see around us today. So that, unfortunately for a lot of people, that is what is seen as the norm, is that try to avoid having children, try to fulfill your sexual urges, since actually more effective means of contraception, only last 50 years to be honest. Before the 1970s or something like that, there wasn't very effective means of contraception. So it's a very tough game for the majority of the history of human beings. Contraception was kind of very random. It wasn't as effective as today. That's actually helped the whole sexual revolution. So for a lot of us who are born in the last, you know, for a lot of people who are born in the last, 20 to 30 years, this has become the norm that it's okay to do that. Everybody around us is doing that. In this country, the statistics is that less than 50% of the people get married. And then even in that less than 50% of people who actually get married, Ya Allah, divorces are rampant. Very different from the bulk of the history, the majority of history. So I don't know, it seems like a test that's going on right now. It seems like this new idea, but I don't know, something's going to have to give because it doesn't work, because it's just too much illegitimacy as such, nobody to take care of people, and that's going to be a major burden on the system anyway. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it that there's responsibility, there's a hierarchy, and the hierarchy is for responsibility rather than dictatorship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. So men have been made the caretakers, قَوَّام. Qawwam is somebody who stands up to do something, who takes care of something. So it doesn't mean that he's the dictator who can just come home and just literally command everybody around, but rather that the buck stops with him, as they say, and that he is responsible, and he has the responsibility to steer the ship and make sure that everybody does their part. So he better do his part, because if you have a bad leader, then the whole enterprise goes down. So that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that he's given multiple reasons that the men are the caretakers, because they spend, so that's a requirement. And number two, they have been given certain physical and other virtues and other qualities to be able to fulfill this responsibility. So ultimately, I see myself as a responsible one rather than a dictator, and that's how it should be. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said that the Sayyidul Qawmi Khadimuhum, the leader of a people is their servant, is the one who provides service to them. That's what a leader is there for. Unfortunately, we have systems in the world where once you become a leader nowadays in many countries in the world, many places in the world, that means you've got now access to resources, influence, filling up your bank balances. So leadership, unfortunately, has become a bad idea. There's a lot of distrust in leadership. That's not the leadership. Leadership in Islam is a responsibility. That's really having, we have to understand that Islam, leadership is a responsibility. So, I'll just start off just to give an understanding of that responsibility and also the importance of marriage in society. There's a person, a woman, who came to the Umar radiallahu anhu during his time. So after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has departed this world, Umar radiallahu anhu is the Khalif. After Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, a woman comes and complains to him about her husband. She does it in a veiled way because she doesn't want to be explicit at the beginning. She doesn't want to be explicit. She's complaining about her husband being so obsessed by his worship, that he's so engrossed in his worship that he has no time for me. And essentially, she says it in poem. She says it as couplets. They're very interesting couplets. But essentially, she says that his love for his salat and his worship and his dhikr, etc., keep his side away from the bed, and you know, and so on and so forth. So Umar radiallahu anhu listens to her and says, "Oh, mashallah, wonderful! How wonderful a husband! How wonderful a husband you have! He's so pious and he's so righteous." And she carries on, and then somebody next to him, one of his companions, he suddenly says, she's not praising her husband, she's actually critiquing her husband, she's complaining about her husband. So then he gets it, that she's trying to say that he didn't spend the nights with me, he's just praying all night. So then Umar radiallahu anhu said to this companion of his, that since you understood what she's saying, I want you to be the judge of this case. So he has her husband called. The husband is called and they have that discussion with him, and he starts to say, yes, I'm just so engrossed in my worship and I enjoy it so much that I don't get to bed, and so on and so forth. Now the woman, she starts responding. She said, don't be deceived by him, and make sure that you judge properly and make sure you understand the situation properly and so on. I'm definitely not saying it as eloquently as they were both poets, and it was quite an amazing encounter. If you want to read about it, you can read about it in my book, right? So I've narrated the whole incident in there. Now what happens is, the judge, he says, okay, fine. My judgment between
you. You are listening to Markaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah.